Sorry, Kitty. Good evening. I'll see if this kicks into gear here. So let me know, guys, if you're seeing me. It's been a bit since I've done a Facebook Live here, so I'm excited to be here with you guys today in my apartment here. Today, felt like I wanted to really kind of connect live with you guys here on Facebook. This will also be uploaded onto YouTube and on the podcast. If you want to watch it there, you can find me at Heal Your Codependency with Marshall Berkshire on your favorite podcast thingy, because I'm on Google, Apple Podcast, Spotify, all that. And then on YouTube under the same name, as well as Instagram and here on Facebook. So good morning, guys. Nice to see you. Let's jump in here. So today I wanted to connect with you, do a little bit of a live here, and talk about the layers of healing, kind of like how we unmask from our codependency, how our programming falls away, and then we connect with our sobriety in that experience, and we get a deeper clarity within to ourselves and within our relationships, within our life, right? And I'll talk about how we navigate this, because it can be pretty intense. I can say hi to Shelby there. It's my kitty kitty. She's just hanging out. Let me know that you're watching in the comments below so I can say hi to you as well. So, yeah. Okay. So the last 3 weeks have been quite a journey personally for me, because my primary relationship ended, and that has put me on a path of deeper discovery, both within myself and within the relationship that ended with her, and then with a community at large and with life at large. And when these kinds of things happen, my protocol is to step inside myself to see what I've missed, what I've learned, what I've gained, where to grow, and where to improve. And that's part of this discovery of layers. So what do I mean by a layer? So in codependency, we have to build up a coping habit in order to connect with life, in order to navigate life, to maintain some sense of connection with someone else, some sense of safety, some sense of worth or purpose or power in our life. So these coping mechanisms kick into gear, and that can involve ignoring things like ignoring pain, ignoring things that feel off to us. It can involve choosing things that feel good, that make sense, but don't actually work well for us. It can be avoiding things entirely. It could be tolerating things because it's better than nothing. I mean, we do a lot of different kinds of coping in that realm. And usually, the kind of coping we do is established by the kind of attachment system orientation we dominantly have in that moment, which maybe it's anxious. So our coping strategy is to please and to chase and to try to get them to see us and love us and like us. Maybe it's an avoidant attachment orientation where we numb out, we shut down, we push away, we don't engage with that intensity or that emotion or that situation or that sense or the feedback that's going on there, right? And maybe it's both. I'm both. Dominantly right now, the scale would be tilted towards avoidance. So I lean into it, so I'm more in that center of connection there. Hey, Frank, good to see you. These are ways we create layers that disconnect us or move us further and further away from reality, further and further away from our sobriety, right? And without sobriety, we don't know what's real. And when we don't know what is real, we can't make decisions that make sense for us. Instead, we're going to make decisions based on the coping system, the attachment system, the reactions we're having to the situations around us, to the conditions that we're present in. And that's why we create loops in our life. That's why things repeat, is because we're not responding to a sober take on reality. We are responding to the conditions through the filter of coping. So when we get into real healing, we get into the process or experience of deconstructing our reality, because a big thing has happened, or that we don't want a big thing to happen. We want to go deep so that we can get a different big thing to happen. We have to encounter layers of sobriety, right? Yeah, Shelby's doing her bath thing there, Pam. And what this means is who we are, first of all, is really what starts to break down. It's our identity. Oh, I'm a codependent. Oh, I'm an avoidant. I'm an anxious attacher. I'm a people pleaser. I'm unlovable, or I'm undesirable, or I'm this, or I'm that. Anything that says I am is going to equate to identity. And when we are in a process of taking apart our coping system, we are also taking apart our identity. And when we do that, we start to get access to what I call sobriety or reality. So reality is what's actually happening. It's the situation. It's the facts of the environment that we're in. Don't push a button. Yeah, you go over there. You come on. Come on. There you go. So, cats. And so in that process, it's important for us to go very slow. Because often when we get in contact with reality, it's too much. It's often too fast. And it's often overwhelming. It's like, wow, I can't process all that information right now. And this is because our coping system keeps our capacity very narrow. Like our level of tolerance for discomfort and facts, it's very small in the coping system because that's how we found safety, is to be contracted, small, maybe even frozen. So we heal and grow. We are expanding our capacity to connect with reality and then process that reality. But initially, when we're deconstructing those layers of our coping system and getting into reality with ourselves, it's going to be too fast, too much, too soon most of the time. So at this point, this is where we take time, real slow. Take it in bit by bit, a little bit at a time. And that can be very challenging because like abrupt changes bring in a lot of emotion really, really quickly. And if we're not practiced in this, we don't know how to do it. We're new to it. We just drown in it for a little bit. That's okay. Initially, like my first breakup post-divorce was actually this time 12 years ago. That was an extremely overwhelming and excruciating experience because I didn't have the support. I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the practice. I didn't have the healing in place to really take in the energy and understand what was going on, and then evaluate myself to see, you know, where did I fail? Where did I do well? Where do I want to improve? And then where was I with an integrity to myself? Where was I not? See, part of that sobriety component is the integrity element. I'll talk about that here in a moment. But it starts with our ability to have capacity to receive reality. So Where do I start my students out with that? I start with this thing called daily regulation. It's a daily regulation practice, or DRP. You can get it on my website for free. But it's a practice of helping the body feel safe enough to receive energy, receive emotion, receive information, process it very small bits at a time. So we titrate it. We take it in a little bit. We let it take up space. Then we shift to a soothing thing. We allow that to be there for a little bit. And over time, we gain more and more access to reality. So this is a gentle deconstruction for ourselves where we can say, okay, I know I got a fantasy here. I know I've got codependency here. I got people pleasing. I got a perfectionistic thing over here. I'm going to take in just a little bit of that today. Let it take up some space. Start to know it a little bit and see what else I'm aware of, what else I'm sensing, what else my mind or body is trying to point out to me. And I can connect with that a little bit. And this helps us build out access to reality. Rather than trying to force a change into our perspective or our belief system, instead we're evolving that based on what we are experiencing in a gentle way so that the body feels safe enough to make a change. So like in my experience right now with the breakup and the grieving and stuff, I'm having, today's kind of like my internal reckoning day. This is where we come to the integrity component I mentioned earlier. of like, wow, Marshall, you did not do that well, and you were out of integrity with yourself here, here, and here. And in the past, that used to be extremely excruciating for me because I come from a history of, if I have failed, then I am a horrid being. I am a harmful being. One of the things that was deeply embedded into me growing up was that I am harmful and I should do everything I can not to be. That comes from a pretty horrific past for other people being projected onto me. And so, but I internalized that and then I was reacted to that way. So when I fail, when I do something that hurts someone else that I am not aware of that I am doing, that is a very big activation in my body. So I've done a lot of work around that so I could have the capacity to receive the feedback and then the internal accountability, the integrity to go, wow, yeah, that was off. The beauty with this approach is, at least in my work, there's no more shame and guilt with this. What there is like, wow, look what I've learned about myself. Now I know what to do differently next time. And I am proud of myself for realizing this, for connecting with it, for understanding it, because now I can do better. Because in my work, I view who I am and my behaviors as separate things, right? I see myself as someone wanting to be very loving, caring, emotionally available, emotionally safe, very connected and invested. Then I've got skill sets I've got to develop, and then I have traumas to resolve, and I've got capacities to build, right? That's where the work is. Because then my expressions, my behaviors, the way I show up in the world can be congruent to my internal reality of who I want to be. That's our work. So when we come to accountability, when we come to integrity with ourselves, it's to say, oh, yeah, I did that. And I want to understand why I did it so I can understand the motivator, the need behind it. And then I can connect with that, care for the pain that motivated the other behavior or the neglect that motivated that behavior because I didn't know what else to do. So I can build a different skill and then go out and practice it. That's the magic of our transition here. So we're not eliminating codependency. What we're doing is we're taking the lessons we gain by the risks we take and then using those to educate our ability or educate ourselves on what we need to grow in with our skills, with our character, with our nature. So we're going to be talking about like capacities, what needs to grow there. Like if I'm on my avoidance side of my attachment system, I have a very small capacity for receiving. So I need to lean into expanding receiving and build tolerance for that discomfort, but also build space to value love more in me and value my love more so I can share it more. That was a realization that came to me at 4:30 this morning. I'm like, oh, look at that. So I've got that on my list to play with. I look at this as self-discovery. This is something I'm personally very passionate about because I have a desire to really love and be loved, but I got to learn it. I didn't grow up being taught any of this. I've had to learn it all through therapy and training and experience, and there comes a cost with that. And we have to, in my work, that cost deserves a lot of compassion and care as well. Because, you know, a lot of us, it's kind of like the blind leading the blind until someone opens their eyes and goes, wow, what's that? Let's figure that out. That's how I see it. I'm just kind of like, there's a lot of people out there like me that have been neglected that don't have a framework of communal relating. Like, I didn't know someone would take the time to orbit my world and understand me and care about my feelings and my priorities in such a way that it deeply mattered to them. I have very rarely felt that in my life. And now I have a model where you know, I do that too, but I don't express it because the avoidance, like, don't do that. That's risky. People have attacked you for it. People think you're weird for doing that. And these are things I am discovering right now in myself. So when it comes to this process of, hey, I'm stripping away layers of programming, I am setting aside the codependency to see reality, these are big things that emerge into our world. One of the things I want to touch on in this process is self-worth. Most of us live with conditional self-worth, meaning our worth is entangled with some sort of condition outside of us. And in my process, in my work, worth is a sovereign thing. It's an independent of all conditions thing, meaning, yeah, I had a very big impact I didn't want in my previous relationship, or I have failed over here, or I have succeeded in that thing. Doesn't matter to my worth. This is key. See, in relationship, worth, our value, who we are, is all tangled up in that. But when our worth becomes independent of that, it allows us to have a deep compassion and a deep access to our own sovereignty. And in that sovereignty, that own, like my own personhood, I can acknowledge what's real for me and better access what I want to change for me so that I can create better impacts in the world. See, when our worth is tied up with our successes, our failures, being loved, being unloved, being accepted, being rejected, then we do not have access to this clarity. What we have access to is shame and guilt governing what we should and shouldn't do. And that leads to perfectionism, that leads to people-pleasing, that leads to avoiding necessary conflicts. That leads us to avoiding the feedback we need to understand our impact and to change that. But self-worth, when it's sovereign, when it's anchored within us, when it is independent of people's approval, people's rejection, people loving us, people hating us, it's felt and rooted in us, then we become alive. Then it's like, well, yeah, that was not aligned with my worth. And now I can feel it. I can sense it. I can identify it. I can change it. That's what we do here. So as we strip away the layers of coping and we allow ourselves the privilege to access a little bit more of our reality, a little bit more of our sobriety, we gain the capacity to change our world in a way that's aligned with this worth. Aligned with what speaks to us with joy, with peace, with harmony, with what makes the body open a little more towards its playful self. Because that's where I find life really works for us, is when we're willing to go there, connect with that, and understand that. So I hope this is making some sense. Let me know in the comments below. Hi, Pam. Yes, just cats. Yeah, sobriety and reality, they are our gifts. Like, ownership and the consequences our choices and actions create are teachers. It's our job to receive the lesson and understand it and incorporate it into our world so we can do better. So that's the work here. So that's what I mean by layers. That's what I mean by this experience of connecting deeper with our reality, so that we can become more of who we really are and less of the coping experience in our life, so we can get more of what we desire. So that's how I navigate. I navigate with care, compassion. I navigate with a rooted sense of worth and in very small bits at a time, so that I don't overwhelm my body. I don't overwhelm my mind. I can care for that capacity and receive myself in a loving way. So that's what we do. If you want more assistance in doing this type of thing, I teach that in the Foundations course. And I teach that, yeah, you can get that in the Foundations course on my website at healyourcodependency.com. Also, if you want to know more about how I help people unlock themselves from codependency, the link for my free workshop is in the comments below. So you can check that out there. So. But we have to feel safe to let ourselves experience them. Yes, we do. It's always about safe enough. Am I willing to take the risk to feel into this reality, acknowledge it just for a moment? That's why we do it in those really small bits. So it is safe enough for us to access and process. So there we go, my friends. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy today. Go gently with yourself if you're going through a big transition. If you're not, go gently with yourself anyway. And also remember to always go out at least once a day, maybe. Say hi to the sky, pet a cat, hug a dog, drink some water, touch a tree, go for a walk. Connect. So thank you again for being here. I appreciate you. I will see you guys in our next episode. Bye-bye. So thank you for watching this episode. And you want more episodes like this, check out the recommended video above. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you're ready to take the leap and heal your codependency, check out my workshop linked below on how to heal codependency permanently. Then you can understand how I help you restore safety, connection, and worth in your life, and how that liberates you from your codependency and empowers you in creating the relationships, the satisfaction, fulfillment you want in your life. So check that out below. Thank you again for showing up, guys. Bye-bye.